This is the reading for June 20th. Job chapter 21. Then Job answered, "Listen carefully to my words, and let this be the way you comfort me. Be patient while I speak. After I have finished, you may continue to make fun of me. My complaint is not just against people. I have reason to be impatient. Look at me and be shocked. Put your hand over your mouth in shock. When I think about this, I am terribly afraid and my body shakes. Why do evil people live a long time? They grow old and become more powerful. They see their children around them. They watch them grow up. Their homes are safe and without fear. God does not punish them. Their bulls never fail to mate. Their cows have healthy calves. They send out their children like a flock. Their little ones dance about. They sing to the music of tambourines and harps, and the sound of the flute makes them happy. Evil people enjoy successful lives and then go peacefully to the grave. They say to God, 'Leave us alone. We don't want to know your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What would we gain by praying to him?' The success of the wicked is not their own doing. Their way of thinking is different from mine. Yet how often are the lamps of evil people turned off? How often does trouble come to them? How often do they suffer God's angry punishment? How often are they like straw in the wind, or like chaff that is blown away by a storm? It is said, 'God saves up a person's punishment for his children,' but God should punish the wicked themselves so they will know it. Their eyes should see their own destruction, and they should suffer the anger of the Almighty. They do not care about the families they leave behind when their lives have come to an end. No one can teach knowledge to God. He is the one who judges even the most important people. One person dies while he still has all his strength, feeling completely safe and comfortable. His body was well fed and his bones were strong and healthy. But another person dies with an unhappy heart, never enjoying any happiness. They are buried next to each other and worms cover them both. I know very well your thoughts and your plans to wrong me. You ask about me, 'Where is this great man's house? Where are the tents where the wicked live?' Have you never asked those who travel? Have you never listened to their stories? On the day of God's anger and punishment, it is the wicked who are spared. Who will accuse them to their faces? Who will pay them back for the evil they have done? They are carried to their graves, and someone keeps watch over their tombs. The dirt in the valley seems sweet to them. Everybody follows after them, and many people go before them. So how can you comfort me with this nonsense? Your answers are only lies." 2 Kings chapter 25. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army during Zedekiah's ninth year as king, on the 10th day of the 10th month. He made a camp around the city and piled dirt against the city walls to attack it. The city was under attack until Zedekiah's 11th year as king. By the ninth day of the 4th month, the hunger was terrible in the city. There was no food for the people to eat. Then the city was broken into, and the whole army ran away at night through the gate between the two walls by the king's garden. While the Babylonians were still surrounding the city, Zedekiah and his men ran away toward the Jordan Valley. But the Babylonian army chased King Zedekiah and caught up with him in the plains of Jericho. All of his army was scattered from him, so they captured Zedekiah and took him to the king of Babylon at Riblah. There he passed sentence on Zedekiah. They killed Zedekiah's sons as he watched. Then they put out his eyes and put bronze chains on him and took him to Babylon. Nebuzaradan was the commander of the king's special guards. This officer of the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem on the 7th day of the 5th month, in Nebuchadnezzar's 19th year as king of Babylon. Nebuzaradan was set fire to the temple of the Lord and the palace and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building was burned. The whole Babylonian army, led by the commander of the king's special guards, broke down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guards, captured the people left in Jerusalem, those who had surrendered to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the people. But the commander left behind some of the poorest people of the land to take care of the vineyards and fields. The Babylonians broke up the bronze pillars, the bronze stands, and the large bronze bowl, which was called the Sea, in the temple of the Lord. Then they carried the bronze to Babylon. They also took the pots, shovels, wick trimmers, dishes, and all the bronze objects used to serve in the temple. The commander of the king's special guards took away the pans for carrying hot coals, the bowls, and everything made of pure gold or silver. There were two pillars and the large bronze bowl and the movable stands which Solomon had made for the temple of the Lord. There was so much bronze that it could not be weighed. Each pillar was about 27 feet high. The bronze capital on top of the pillar was about 4.5 feet high. It was decorated with a net design and bronze pomegranates all around it. The other pillar also had a net design and was like the first pillar. The commander of the guards took some prisoners, Sariah the chief priest, Zephaniah the priest next in rank, and the three doorkeepers. Of the people who were still in the city, he took the officer in charge of the fighting men, as well as five people who advised the king. He took the royal secretary who selected people for the army and 60 other men who were in the city. Nebuzaradan the commander took all these people and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. There at Riblah in the land of Hamath, the king had them killed. So the people of Judah were led away from their country as captives. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, left some people in the land of Judah. He appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, as governor. The army captains and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, so they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. They were Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Johanan, son of Kareah, Sariah, son of Tanhumeth, the Netophathite, Jezaniah, son of the Maacathite, and their men. Then Gedaliah promised these army captains and their men, "Don't be afraid of the Babylonian officers. Live in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and everything will go well for you." In the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, son of Elishama from the king's family, came with 10 men and killed Gedaliah. They also killed the men of Judah and Babylon who were with Gedaliah at Mizpah. Then all the people, from the least important to the most important, along with the army leaders, ran away to Egypt because they were afraid of the Babylonians. Jehoiakim, king of Judah, was held in Babylon for 37 years. In the 37th year, Evil-Merodach became king of Babylon, and he let Jehoiakim out of prison on the 27th day of the 12th month. Evil-Merodach spoke kindly to Jehoiakim and gave him a seat of honor among the seats of the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim put away his prison clothes. For the rest of his life, he ate at the king's table. Every day, for as long as Jehoiakim lived, the king gave him an allowance.
Chapter 5.
A man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold some property. They agreed to hold back some of the money they had pledged and turned only part of it over to the apostles. Peter asked, "Ananias, why did you let Satan fill you with the idea that you could deceive the Holy Spirit? You've held back some of the money you received for the land. While you had the land, it was your own. After it was sold, you could have done as you pleased with the money. So how could you do a thing like this? You didn't lie to people, but to God." When Ananias heard Peter say this, he dropped dead. Everyone who heard about his death was terrified. Some young men got up, wrapped his body in a sheet, carried him outside, and buried him. About 3 hours later, Ananias' wife arrived. She didn't know what had happened. So Peter asked her, "Tell me, did you sell the land for that price?" She answered, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "How could you and your husband agree to test the Lord's Spirit? Those who buried your husband are standing at the door, and they will carry you outside for burial." Immediately, she dropped dead in front of Peter. When the young men came back, they found Sapphira dead, so they carried her outside and buried her next to her husband. The whole church and everyone else who heard about what had happened were terrified. The people saw the apostles perform many miracles and do amazing things. The believers had a common faith in Jesus as they met on Solomon's porch. None of the other people dared to join them, although everyone spoke highly of them. More men and women than ever began to believe in the Lord. As a result, people carried their sick into the streets. They placed them on stretchers and cots so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some sick people as he went by. Crowds from the cities around Jerusalem would gather. They would bring their sick and those who were troubled by evil spirits, and each person was cured. The chief priest and the whole party of the Sadducees who were with him were extremely jealous. So they took action by arresting the apostles and putting them in the city jail. But at night, an angel from the Lord opened the doors to their cell and led them out of the prison. The angel told them, "Stand in the temple courtyard and tell the people everything about life in Christ." Early in the morning, after they had listened to the angel, the apostles went into the temple courtyard and began to teach. The chief priest and those who were with him called together the Jewish council, that is, all the leaders of Israel. They also sent men to the prison to get the apostles. When the temple guards arrived at the prison, they didn't find the apostles. The guards came back and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. However, when we opened the doors, we found no one inside." When the officer of the temple guards and the chief priests heard this, they were puzzled about what could have happened. Then someone told them, "The men you put in prison are standing in the temple courtyard. They're teaching the people." Then the officer of the temple guards went with some of his men to bring back the apostles without using force. After all, the officer and his guards were afraid that the people would stone them to death for using force. When they brought back the apostles, they made them stand in front of the council. The chief priest questioned them. He said, "We gave you strict orders not to mention Jesus' name when you teach, yet you filled Jerusalem with your teachings. You want to take revenge on us for putting that man to death." Peter and the other apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than people. You murdered Jesus by hanging him on a cross, but the God of our ancestors brought him back to life. God used his power to give Jesus the highest position as leader and savior. He did this to lead the people of Israel to him, to change the way they think and act, and to forgive their sins. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When the men on the council heard this, they became furious and wanted to execute the apostles. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel stood up. He was a highly respected expert in Moses' teachings. He ordered that the apostles should be taken outside for a little while. Then he said to the council, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared. He claimed that he was important, and about 400 men joined him. He was killed, and all his followers were scattered. The whole movement was a failure. After that man, at the time of the census, Judas from Galilee appeared and led the people in a revolt. He too died, and all his followers were scattered. We should keep away from these men for now. We should leave them alone. I can guarantee that if the plan they put into action is of human origin, it will fail. However, if it's from God, you won't be able to stop them. You may even discover that you're fighting against God." The council took his advice. They called the apostles, beat them, ordered them not to speak about the one named Jesus, and let them go. The apostles left the council room. They were happy to have been considered worthy to suffer dishonor for speaking about Jesus. Every day, in the temple courtyard and from house to house, they refused to stop teaching and telling the good news that Jesus is the Messiah.